Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. Hi, it's George from Ireland. Thanks for coming back to my channel. Talk about Russia military recruitment. So Russia, a couple of years ago, was recruiting about 30,000 troops a month on average, about 95% of them male. Now, they have their two call-ups per annum. There's the March one, about 125,000 troops called up, and about 125,000 troops also called up in September. That's standard, do your 1 year military training and that's it, and then leave, but could be recalled for refresher courses for like the next 10 years. Now, people could defer that by going to university, even going to university abroad. Some people were real permanently medically unfit for medical service. I mean, I know some Ruskies were sort of fighting fit. I went to university with several Russians. None of them did their military service, not one of them, because they just bribed a doctor to get out of it. It was sort of grossly unfair like that. And so it's a totally unequal society. For all you idealistic leftists who think that Putin is somehow continuing communism in the economic sense, no, he's definitely not. So obviously some months the recruitment was much lower, but it averaged out sort of 30,000 over a year. Then there are people volunteering, signing these contracts with the big bonuses. Remember, Russia's got 80, 85 federal subjects like autonomous oblasts or regions or whatever. And the joining bonus was according to which one it was. The Moscow one, it was sky high, partly because Moscow is richer and Muscovites are the least likely to volunteer. In some in some oblasts, like $10,000 is a life changing amount of money. It had to be sort of about five times higher than that in Moscow. And obviously people were coerced to joining. People in prison, it's minus 20. They turn the heating off until you sign a contract, or it was not quite coerced. You're serving a 25-year sentence. If you join now, do 1 month, so 1 year of fighting, and then you're free. But some of the guys who volunteered or conscripted just weren't allowed out. They fought and fought and fought for years. This guy's convicted of rape and murder, and he's getting sent home after a year. I courageously volunteered, and I'm not. That's unfair. And sometimes no leave for years. Okay. Anyway, so just viewing them as expendable. And a Russian friend who said, the thing is, in Russia, human life has got no value whatsoever. Certainly it doesn't to Putin. Even the lives of his own people. But Russia's finding it impossible to sustain this tempo. They say they've got 140 million people. I mean, they lie and claim it's a bit higher. Partly they claim some of the Ukrainians they're illegally occupying, and some of the children they kidnap, they claim those. But they lie about every single datum. So presumably this one about as well. Plus they got this demographic death spiral. I know it's bad in Western countries. It's worse in Russia than even most of those. Despite being boosting the birth rate, being of one of Putin's cardinal policies, he's not achieved it in 27 years. Even if he did achieve his target, it would still be below replacement fertility. It'd still be below 2.1%. Population would still fall, only not as fast. So those they could coerce in prison to join. They've mostly joined. The ones who are left are just so mentally ill or wheelchair bound, they just can't use them. So there are serious labor shortages in certain key sectors, and wages have had to go up to attract people into various things, you know, like military manufacturing. Then partly their xenophobia has driven away the Central Asians. Russia had several million guest workers from Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Armenia, Georgia, to less than Azerbaijan, Moldova, former Soviet republics, particularly Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan, the most poverty-stricken mountainous ones in Central Asia, the poorest ones in the former Soviet Union. So they've got some North Koreans who even fought for them, but North Koreans to be paid below the Russian minimum wage. And even then, some of the money goes to other to the North Korean regime. Yeah, all right. Well, they've been accepting foreign volunteers to the front from the very beginning. I mean, Wagner Group always had some Serbians in it, but they've recruited Cubans in particular. Russia's got a very cordial relationship with Cuba. Zambian has been killed at the front. A Kenyan has been killed at the front. Colombians on both sides. Indians, Pakistanis, and so on. Nepalese, and some of them came over to study, were caught with cannabis, or maybe had it planted them, and told you can serve 10 years, you can join the military, whatever. Or Syrians and others who came over, sometimes willingly, sometimes they're duped, sometimes they'll get a construction job or a security guarding job, or you join the military, but you'll serve in the rear. You just be loading, unloading trucks, something like that. But they will lie to them. They won't pay the salaries they're told. They will take their passport off them. They're told they get citizenship. It's not. I mean, if I was one of Putin's advisors and I could shape the policy, this is what I do. Say, if you join the Russian army, you will get Russian citizenship straight away. We'll take your photo and we'll have a passport ready for you. If you sign the contract, the passport is yours. That's it. Now, because Russian citizenship is very attractive to people from places like Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, it was the colonial metropole for them for centuries. This is a richer country than they're in. So they like that. Otherwise, Russian citizenship takes about 10 years to obtain. It's very expensive. You have to have flawless Russian. I've heard of one Uzbek accountant who got it. It's very, very difficult for them to get. So people from the less economic developed countries are sometimes volunteering. But I mean, Narendra Modi managed to secure the release of about 100 of them because in Russia's at a million strong army, 100 more soldiers doesn't make any serious difference. But having amicable relations with India does make a difference. And indeed, people have been duped into working in factories, particularly women from countries like South Africa, working with dangerous chemicals, very long hours, making drones. If you do the slightest thing wrong, your salary is docked. So, and obviously people are getting wise to this. It's more difficult to trick foreigners into joining. Ukraine is losing by any measure. Well, Ukraine is being driven back, okay? But it's something like 15 meters a day. That's 15 meters a day. It's the slowest advance ever. If you look back to the First World War, the trenches, it's even slower than that. And so Putin hasn't been managed to have a breakthrough. Even when they had something, a bit of a breakthrough several months ago, like I said, they weren't really able to exploit it because they don't have enough tanks and so on. Obviously Ukraine is suffering serious losses too. These are just sustainable for the Russians. They're just throwing their lives away in meat attacks. Often those who are just given a few days of training, by laws maybe a month minimum, really substandard equipment, rations or whatever, and that just regard them as runts, launch a diversionary attack. And that's to distract the enemy. And then the main thrust goes in elsewhere, or to identify the Ukrainian positions, which they can then hit and so on, not treating their wounded soldiers. So being completely callous about it. So they need 30,000 new soldiers to replace the losses, and they're not getting them now. So rather than have in September 2022, that's when they launched this extraordinary call up. And it was just after Ukraine's counteroffensive. Just time of the death of the Queen, and it should have got a lot more media attention if it wasn't for the Queen's death, much faster than anything Russia imagined. And so Putin didn't think the war was going to be over in 10 days. And that's why he called that, and then called up tens of thousands of men. Other guys fled. They ran for the borders. Flights to Istanbul going for 10 times the usual cost. People were waiting in their cars for days to cross the border into Georgia. So with their internal passport, they can go to a lot of former Soviet countries like Armenia, like Kazakhstan, wherever. They can set up to 90 days. And if they can stay 90 days in Kazakhstan, go to Kyrgyzstan for 90 days and Azerbaijan for 90 days and Georgia for 90 days and just don't return so you won't be called up. But anyway, that died down after about a month, and Putin really doesn't want to have to do that. So they're trying to be as discreet as possible, not to panic people, not to provoke demonstrations or anything like that, but conscripting more men because they can't get the volunteers. They've slashed the recruitment bonuses because they just can't afford them anymore. The economy is being squeezed. The sanctions are finally having an effect. And they're lucrative jobs, civilian jobs. So why wouldn't need to join for money? One thing is... that obviously there's inflation. So people want money more. People realize that volunteering is little more than a death sentence. But when they're losing roughly 30,000 troops a month, about 1,000 a day, that doesn't mean all killed. Only about a quarter of that's killed. And the rest wounded, 750 wounded. Some of them are invalided out. That's it. They're double amputees. They are brain damaged, something like that. They're blinded or whatever. They are paralyzed from the neck down. They can never help again. But at least a considerable minority of them can be rehabilitated, but they can go back into the front, but not immediately. It can take weeks, it can take months before that. So that's why you still need so many people coming forward, and they're getting more like 25,000 a month, so they cannot sustain this tempo of losses. But it doesn't seem to have filtered through. Well, therefore we have to conserve the lives of our troops, not just throw them away. The Ukrainians are trying to avoid casualties, are willing to withdraw when necessary, but you know what, Pokrovsk, I was thinking it was going to fall 6 months ago, and the Ukrainians are still there. Or Kramatorsk and Kupiansk, which Putin claimed to have taken last year, and is not true. It's a lie. Zelensky's even been there to prove it's a lie. Europe can handle these refugees who are working. Europe actually needs them because, it's sub-replacement fertility, and they're contributing to the economy in all these countries. It's not they're just like living off benefits. Unemployment is very low in most EU countries. Some people are just refusing to work because they want to slob around and get benefits. But the Ukrainians are not, that they are working. So I don't think that's actually a significant problem. And a lot of Ukrainians have chosen not to leave or have left or gone back permanently or just to visit. So actually, they've been a boon. There have been very few problems for them where I live. So Russia is having more difficulty recruiting foreigners who realize what the scam is, more difficulty recruiting their own people who realize it's a death sentence. And then push is coming to shove, having to conscript more and more people. Those who are healthy young men who make the best soldiers have largely been conscripted. The highly educated ones often left the country to evade conscription. So that is why it's going to be increasingly difficult to sustain the war effort, especially economically, into 2027. Not to say there are no problems to Ukraine. There are. They've suffered heavy losses too. Now, they could, their conscription age is 25. If they lower it to 18, there would be no recruitment problem. Plus, they have a few million men of military age, which goes right up to 60 in Ukraine, who are not in the military. Ukraine could conscript way more. Okay, a few are in reserved occupations, electricians to repair their electric grid or whatever. Some of them medically unfit for military service. But there are a few million who are medically fit and they're not conscripting enough of them. Plus, some of them have left the country illegally. And European Union countries, the allies, should say, Ukrainian men of military age, you've got to go back. You're going to fight unless you give an exemption to the Ukrainian government, either to fight or to work in the war economy, to drive a bus, to work in a coal mine, anything, to be a farmer, whatever it is. And if you don't go back, we will handcuff you and we will take you back because we're supplying the weapons, but Ukraine's got to supply the troops. Would I want to be a Ukrainian fighting? No, I wouldn't. I don't want to fight at all, which is not to say that no one should fight. There's never a right to fight. Okay, these people don't want to get killed. I can't really blame them. I wouldn't either. I'm not saying I'm gallant. If I was a Ukrainian, would I have made military service? I probably would, which doesn't make it the right thing to do. All right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then on PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.